Hello, I'm Chip Coldren. I serve as the Managing Director for Justice Programs at the CNA Institute for Public Research. I am also the Project Director for BJA's Body-Worn Camera Technical Assistance Program. Today, I'm speaking with Police Chief Will Johnson of Arlington, Texas. We will discuss vendor and cost considerations when it comes to body-worn cameras. Chief Johnson has 22 years of law enforcement experience and was promoted to chief in March 2013. He is a Police Executive Research Forum Executive Fellow and the recipient of the 2013 Gary P. Hayes Leadership Award from PERF. Will holds a master's degree from Texas Christian University and a bachelor's degree from Texas Tech University. He is a graduate of the FBI National Academy 245th session, where he was honored as class president, a graduate of the 35th session of the Senior Management Institute for Police, the FBI's Command Institute for Law Enforcement Executives, the Texas Law Enforcement Management Institute's 45th Leadership Command College, and the Anti-Defamation League's 2014 National Counterterrorism Seminar. Chief Johnson currently chairs the 2016 International Association of Chiefs of Police Civil Rights Committee and is a subject matter expert for the Department of Justice Office of Community-Oriented Policing Services Collaborative Reform Process. Chief Johnson, thank you for speaking with me today. I know that your department has been involved in a pilot program regarding the implementation of body-worn cameras, and we thought it would be a good idea to hear about some of your thoughts and experiences regarding the project. So let me start out with this question, Chief. What are the biggest challenges to implementing a body-worn camera program within your agency?
Well, first, Chip, thank you so much for the invitation to participate in this podcast. This is a topic that's relevant to law enforcement, certainly to chiefs that are considering implementing this technology. And it's a process that we're trying to understand and learn from ourselves as we go through this pilot project. To answer your question, I think the biggest challenge that we had as we implemented our body-worn camera pilot project was understanding what we don't know. You enter into the project with a certain expectation about what the technology requirements might be, the policy requirements, maybe the operational impact from the officer's perspective. But there's such complexity when evaluating to deploy body cameras. External stakeholders like vendor support, selecting a vendor, internal stakeholders, does it integrate into the IT environment of your agency and your governance policy for technology standards? We never can lose sight of the fact that cops have to wear this technology, and so their input is particularly important to us in terms of functionality, wearability, ease of use. And then finally, probably the biggest challenge of all of these is the retention and accessibility of the data that is collected. Being able to process open records requests, effectively manage and maintain custody and chain of command for these evidentiary items that will be used in subsequent prosecutions. And each one of those topics has their own group of sub-stakeholders and needs that have to be addressed and evaluated by management.
Thanks. Could you just tell us a little bit about the size of this pilot project, how many cameras were involved, and how many officers were involved?
Well, certainly. So Arlington has approximately 650 sworn officers. The pilot project has deployed between 85 and 100 cameras. Not only is it a pilot project to do evaluate the usefulness of the technology, but we've also entered into a relationship with a leading researcher in the field that's evaluating the public's perception and the legitimacy around the body-worn camera project. And so our deployment strategy was randomized to meet both scientific research requirements that are being done in tandem with our evaluation of just the technology and do we want to move the organization into deployment of this in a full and ongoing basis.
Okay, thanks. So, can you tell us, have you encountered any obstacles or challenges when meeting with suitable vendors?
Well, absolutely. I don't think that it's an overstatement to state that any time that you deal with a technology project within policing, the end result is going to be a capability that exceeds where you presently are as an organization, but less than the vendor promised they could deliver. And so understanding where that sweet spot is in terms of what exactly is going to be the usefulness of the product, how the product support is managed, how the hardware and the software support aligns with organizational expectations. And then the bottom line that the cops want to know is, does it work? Can I use it with gloves on? Can I use it in harsh weather and cold weather? Does it stay on my uniform? And just the simple things from their perspective that can mean the world of difference in terms of functionality and ease of use.
Thank you. And at your department, who has a role in deciding which vendor is right for the agency?
Well, there's multiple people that will have input on that process. So certainly the cops have input in terms of ease of use of the device itself. Our internal police IT department evaluates the environment which the software is going to have to be able to function from a command and control perspective, a policy compliance perspective, a data retention perspective. And then the last stakeholder group within the city is going to be the city IT department, and how does this program match other programs that they may be utilizing. But we found in our pilot project there's an additional group that is very important in the process. And that is the other elements within the criminal justice system, particularly the district attorney's office. Ultimately, a percentage of the files that are collected will have evidentiary value and be submitted as part of a case processing packet for a trial. And the manner in which that is accessed, downloaded, or shared with the district attorney's office, and what file format it's shared in is of particular importance to the DA's office, so that their voice is important in the selection process as well.
So you have these different groups and stakeholder groups. How will they, each of those groups, help you in making the decision about the vendor?
Each one of those groups is going to have their own set of requirements and topics of importance, at least based on our experience. And they'll share that back with the project coordinator in the pilot project. I think the real root of the question that you're asking is when there are differences of opinion of what is most important, how do we reconcile those conflicts to make sure that we are satisfying the majority of the system requirements that each of the stakeholders had? And that's been more of a challenge for us. The different groups have selected different functionalities as being the most important aspect for their perspective. And very few of the vendors that we have piloted, and we have three different vendors in our pilot project, all have the same technical capabilities. So short answer is, you have different stakeholders picking different vendors for different reasons, and there's not a lot of synergy between those different stakeholders or consensus amongst those stakeholders as which the best solution is.
Very interesting. So in the end, you're not going to make everybody happy, correct?
That's a very true statement. In the end, if we ultimately decide to deploy a full deployment of body cameras, not everybody is going to be happy. So the question is, do we satisfy most of the requirements that each stakeholder has? And then did we prioritize those different needs in a logical sense where they understand how the decision was made in a procedurally fair sort of environment so that even if they're not completely satisfied, they believe that the process was fair and that their voice was heard in the selection process.
I appreciate that perspective. And I imagine that you would, even with the challenges this sort of process presents with involving these different groups, that you'd rather have these challenges than not have them involved at all.
Absolutely, because there is no program that, from my perspective, that could be implemented that is going to be free of any risk of not having buy-in from key stakeholders. And so if you know that there's going to be challenges where groups don't get everything that they want, the process in which the selection was made and the transparency of what you're trying to accomplish becomes of critical importance, so that as different segments of the organization are working through the implementation process and dealing with challenges, that it doesn't derail the entire program, but rather staff is motivated to overcome the challenges that are presented to achieve the ultimate goal of a sustainable program.
And that's a very, very, very good perspective, Chief. Can you tell us, what have you learned about the cost of cameras as you've gone through this process?
What we've learned is that the cost of cameras isn't what you should be focusing on at all. It's the human capital cost to be able to effectively manage the volume of data. In other words, full-time equivalent positions that are dedicated to the program to make sure that it is sustainable, that the data is retrievable, that retention schedules are followed, that evidence is secured, and equally important, that files of non-evidentiary value are purged in an appropriate and lawful manner. And that we're responsive to open records requests as it relates to the files that we have in our possession. But those open records requests that we don't erroneously release files that are protected by law and protecting the privacy of people in the community by law because of an insufficient staffing level to be able to manage the requests. So The cameras do have a cost. The storage certainly has a cost that is incrementally larger than the cameras, but the real cost driver for any program, at least from our experience, has been determining the right number of people to be able to staff the program and effectively manage it.
So are those costs now looking to be greater to you than you initially thought they would be at the start of this process?
We knew that the human capital cost was going to be the most expensive and ongoing cost. What we're having difficulty doing right now is just making sure that we don't overstaff the program, which would represent an unnecessary cost to the community in terms of funding a position, but equally important that we don't understaff the project and have a deficiency where we can't manage the volume within the defined time parameters as established by law. So we're really working hard to understand workload, volume, and inputs into the program from a data collection perspective so that we can manage the outputs and the flow of the files as we process and manage them.
Good. Thank you. So now that you've been, you know, through this pilot process for a while, what do you think your top considerations are going to be when it comes to selecting a vendor?
Well, certainly, I think that just this conversation and these questions have oriented our audience that selecting the cameras is really the quickest and simplest part of the process. The ongoing support and dedication required to sustain a program is really one of the top considerations in vendor selection. So who as a vendor is in the best position to sustain long-term the organizational needs that each individual agency might be faced with Do they bring sufficient product support, product staffing, and technical support to be able to manage the volume of data being collected by the police agency? Because that's going to be of paramount importance. The other thing, the one last thing on vendor selection is we've really focused on trying to answer this question before we selected a vendor, and that is, if we ever want to change vendors in the future, what does that process look like? How do we get our data files? Whenever the data is taken, if it's in a cloud storage, do we get to maintain the metadata that is inputted with each data file in the file management process? Is that exportable as well as the file itself, so that you don't end up with 3 years worth of data, but yet all of your metadata that you use to sort and file the files is lost in a transition. So that's of particular importance in selecting a vendor as well.
So I can see that. It's not the raw technology that's a difficult decision. It's what else do the vendors provide in terms of support for all the human capital that you're putting into this project in the first place, right?
That is absolutely correct.
Good. Thank you. One last question, and this is just what you would recommend to other agencies who are going to get into pilots like this, you know, to have a successful process?
I would really stress three things. Number one, I would have a slow, methodical, and inclusive environment to evaluate the products and evaluate the deployment strategy. That inclusive environment should include not only technical stakeholders that would be needed to deploy the technology, but really community stakeholders too, in terms of what is the value proposition for the introduction of these cameras within your agency and within your community. Without a doubt, these programs cost money. The true question is that money the most appropriate way to spend it to meet the community's needs? And in many communities, that question has largely been answered, yes, it has been. Communities have wanted it. But there still needs to be the exercise where the question is asked. Number two is that you develop a defined body-worn camera policy prior to deployment of the cameras in the field, even if you're only piloting the cameras. So before we began our pilot project, we had a departmental policy on body-worn cameras that was approved and disseminated even before we started the pilot. Because the minute that you pilot even one camera, you are collecting organizational records, you are collecting potential evidence items for court, you're collecting potential video files subject to open records request. You have to have the ability to have expectations with the workforce in terms of how they should use the camera, and defined expectations of how the department will manage and process the requests that come in for the file footage afterwards. And so that's of equal importance also. And then the final thing is really understanding what you're getting into. It is, as we did our due diligence and asking agencies that presently have cameras deployed, many of the agencies that we spoke with really were trying after the fact to address some of the topics that we've talked about today in a reactionary mode, because they took cameras from a vendor and deployed them to test them out without thinking about some of these administrative requirements that every agency is faced with. And so just stressing the importance of prior to any pilot project, really understanding what the potential ramifications might be and anticipating those needs before deployment.
Excellent. Thank you, Chief Johnson, for those very thoughtful responses to our questions. We're grateful that you could speak with us today to share your knowledge on this important topic. We encourage law enforcement, justice, and public safety leaders whose agencies are interested in learning more about the implementation of body-worn camera programs to visit the Body-Worn Camera Toolkit at www.bja.gov/BWC. This toolkit offers a variety of resources that agencies can use to help with adoption and use for community engagement, policy development, data collection, officer training, and educational purposes. We also encourage listeners to share and promote these resources with your colleagues and staff. Lastly, all of these resources, and especially the body-worn camera toolkit, have been designed as a national resource, as your resource. Please submit your ideas for new content through the BWC support link at the bottom of the homepage. This is Chip Coldren of CNA's body-worn camera team signing off. Thank you to our listeners for joining us today, and thank you again, Chief Johnson.
Thank you for having me.